Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Now, we don't know what the outcome is going to be,
So that is what the scriptures are. That's what the scripture means to me. What you think about it, Andrew?
Well, what I think it's the same thing. Early on this week, I heard a song, and he was like, this is like secular music, but I mean, basically what he was like was like, you know, things tomorrow aren't promised. And after he was going throughout the song saying, you know, tomorrow, tomorrow. And after at the end of the song, he was like, well, nowadays, you know, being a black male and being everything, you know, tomorrow's not promised. Anything can happen, regardless of this, whether it's the police, whether, you know, God decides to call you home, whether it's your time. Whatever happens, you know, it's not promised. And I feel like you can't put off what you would do today for tomorrow because tomorrow, like you said, is not promised. And certain things you just need to take care of at the right time and do it then because, like you said, a family member, you think they'll be there, and then that will be on your conscience because you said something wrong to them out the way, and then you felt like, you know, that it's your obligation now because you didn't get to say, you know, I'm sorry for what you had said, or maybe you did something just out of spite, just to get back at the person. You didn't mean it like that. Normally you do that with family members. Your brother get on your nerves, sister get on your nerves, you just say something out the way to get back at them. And, you know, you don't really mean it, but at the time, you're like, all right, I'm going to get you back right now. You know, being on get back ain't always the good thing. And right. I feel like you're definitely right.
Appreciate that. It was a show, and if anybody get a chance to watch it, it's called Survivor's Remorse, and it's about LeBron James' career as a rookie. And he had this uncle, and it was Uncle Julius, and they started to go to church, and Uncle Julius was like, man, I'm not trying to be in there, did that and the fourth and the other. And so he kept putting it off. I'm going to give my life to... And one thing that he always used to say is the famous comedian Mike Epps, he used to say, man, I'm going to give my life to God, but I got to get this money first. So that speaks to the test that he's not worried about. He's not worried about what tomorrow may bring. He's satisfied right now. And in the show Survivor's Remorse, he kept putting God off. And then one day he got into a car accident, and when he flipped out of the car, one thing that he said that really captured my attention in his last breath, you know, when you're on your dying bed, you get to say a few words, and the only words that summoned to say were, I wish I believed in God. See, because his time was then. But all those times that he put off God, man, I'm going to go tomorrow. I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm going to do it tomorrow. And then death came knocking at his door. And all he could say, because he knew he was going to hell, but all he could say was, man, I wish I believe in God. And we don't want to get into that position where we say now that we're on our dying deathbed that we wish we believed in Christ. Is there any more other men on the line that can chime in?
No, not right now. It's just me and you.
All right. That's it's key to realize what is going on, because if you keep putting something off till the next day, or if you keep saying, okay, man, it's going to be here tomorrow, I got a perfect example. We're about to move, and all the weeks up until these last final weeks, my mom was saying, you need to get this together, talking to my father, you need to get it together, because next thing you know, it's going to be right here. And my father like, man, we can do it. We got this and we got that and we got this and we got that. And now it's the moving date is approaching fastly. But because we keep wanting to put it off, because we think that tomorrow we can do it, tomorrow might not even make it. Tomorrow night might not even come. And we want to scroll down to verse 17. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. This scripture speaks to the first word. this scripture speaks to the first word, because when we, us men, when we get on the line and we talk to Pastor Kayson, we talk to Brother Anthony, we talk to Reverend Grimes, and we talk with myself, and we have different outlooks on the scriptures. We have different takes and the way that God has shown us. So if I don't really understand what's going on, I could be able to pass it to Brother Anthony, pass it to Pastor Kayson, pass it to Reverend Grimes and say, I need the full understanding, because your meaning and my meaning aren't the same. Iron sharpens iron. If you start hanging around negative people, you're going to turn into a negative person. If you're starting to hang around positive people, you're going to be a positive person. When I first came to the heart of God of where I'm from, the certain people in the church that I, you know, that I spent time with and things of that nature, I get around them, it's a positive about Christ energy. So when you're around that, all you can do is feed off the energy of the people that you're around. Iron sharpens iron. Brother Adam?
Yeah, for the same way. I feel like, you know, you can apply the same thing when you're in school, you know, that when you surround yourself with, you know, not saying just the smart kids, but, you know, people that are positive around you and, you know, strive for the betterment of others and on top of you, you know, you can succeed. Also, you know, there's things that, you know, when you're living your life that, like Jamal said, you know, this fellowship here, you know, when we have problems, we can bring it to the table and, you know, find out, you know, what should I do? And, you know, sometimes I go to Jamal, sometimes I go to my father, like you said, Mr. Grimes, you know, ask for certain things. And, you know, when you surround yourself with these type, in the end, you'll definitely come out on top, because you have experience, you have different outlooks on it. You know, you have people that can calm you down in a bad situation. You know, don't let your anger get the best of you. And, you know, when your friends might be there, you know, he might say, just calm down. You know, it doesn't have to be that way. You know, just take your time, you know. Certain people like that help you out. And as it says, iron will sharpen iron, you know.
All day. And if you're iron sharpens iron, so, you know, we have to get into this first word. Is very important. It's very important for us to get on this line every Sunday morning, because iron sharpens iron. And when Pastor says one thing and Reverend Grimes said another and Brother Anthony puts his two cents in it, now it's giving me the whole understanding, the full understanding, because Pastor might break part down and Brother Anthony might break this part down, and Reverend Grimes might break this part down, and now I'm understanding it from three point of views. So iron sharpens iron. It's important for us men, because we are the ones that are dying in the streets, and understanding that when us men, when we die in the streets, first of all, that's a generation loss, and second of all, if you don't give your life to Christ before it's all said and done, your eternity is burning. You're gonna live you're gonna spend eternity in hell, total darkness and burning for the rest of your life. So we have to get into a place, and see, when we get into that place, we're gonna be well off with God. We have to get to that place where we say, man, I'm tired of this worldly stuff. Every time I'm hanging around with such and such, we get shot at. Every time I hang around such and such, we go to jail. Every time I hang around such and such, I don't know what to expect. So we have to surround ourselves with people that are on the same path that we're on. No, we do not forget the people that are not on our path. And that's what people don't understand, that, okay, I might take a break from you, but that doesn't mean I don't love you. But you ain't doing what I'm doing, so I'ma love you from where you at, and you a great person. But I gotta keep on moving, because the train not gonna stop. The orders haven't changed. So if you wanna sit there and do what you need to do, okay. But I gotta keep on going. I gotta keep on pushing, because as Proverbs 27, the first verse tells, don't boast about tomorrow. See, that person that's sitting on the side while you keep on going is going to say, man, I'll get to that tomorrow. But Lil Wayne, man, he said a line. He said he's been real since day one because he wasn't promised day two. We have to get into a place where we say, okay, look, we got to do this today, right now. There's no tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, takes us to our next verse. This is going to be verse 19. It says, as water reflects a face, so a man's heart reflects the man. Oftentimes, when people get drunk, they like to say, oh, those type of people tell the truth. But see, that was always something they wanted to say, but they didn't have the courage to say it.
So, liquid courage.
So, and a lot of people like to say, oh, I didn't mean to say that. Oh, you meant to say it. Because that's why God tells us to hide his commandments in our heart. Because what's in a man's heart is going to come out of his mouth. If you love this young lady and you really love her, you genuinely love her, it's going to come out your mouth. You're not going to hide it. You're not going to, hold on, let me leave out the room with my boys. I love you, babe. I love you. No. When you make up your mind that in my heart I love this person, it's going to come out your mouth. So that's why God tells us to hide his commandments in our hearts so we might not sin against thee. And that's why you hide these scriptures in our hearts, because the spiritual war is not physical. It ain't at all. So when we start hiding the word of God in our heart, when the trials and tribulations come, we would no longer try to do it physically, but we're going to do it spiritually. Why? Because we have the sword in our heart. And so when trouble arises and I just open my mouth, the sword starts to come out and defeat all of the spiritual demons out here and defeat the enemy and defeat whatever is coming up against me. But so we have to hide these. We have to hide the word of God in our heart, because this is how that we're going to live everyday life, because the life is not about the physical. The spiritual world is, to me, the spiritual world is way more real than the physical world. So we have to hide the word of God in our hearts. Stop putting hate in our hearts. Stop putting every man, females, let's stop putting every man is the same in our hearts. Fellas, let's stop putting every woman is the same in our hearts. Let's start putting that she is a young black woman in our hearts. Let's put that we love and care for her as if she were our mama in our hearts, with the love and the same care. Let's put that in our hearts. So when things come about, these are the positive things that are coming out your mouth, and that speaks to iron sharpens iron, Brother Anthony.
I feel like I'm reminded of that verse you just read, as in the water, face answer to face, and the heart of a man to a man. I feel like, you know, I'm reminded, like, you know, like the old stories, you know, when way back in times, you know, way before anything ever came of, you know, when you looked in the water, all you saw was your reflection. And basically, you know, in some movies, when you see your reflection, you get scared. And then, you know, in a scary movie, you look in and you like, oh my gosh, I see myself now, you know. That's like when your parents tell you, check yourself, you know, look at yourself first. And after, you know, when you do recognize that, you'll make that change. And, you know, I feel like that's the same thing you were saying, you know, don't put off tomorrow what you can do today, because basically when you look at yourself and you see there's something and there's a problem, you need to fix that right there and then. Because if you look at yourself tomorrow's not a promise. That water might not be there tomorrow. It might dry up, might be gone. You can't look at yourself anymore. It might give you that chance. And, you know, I feel like also when you were talking about, you know, the females and everything, I feel like my father said once, you know, you treat everybody like either your mother, your sister, and you only have one wife, so you can only treat her that one way. So you only get one of those. So you have to look at certain females a certain way, either as your sister or as your mother. And you give them that respect all the time. But as for the water thing, I mean, that was that's where I felt like, you know, that was coming in for me. You know, just looking at yourself, look at yourself in the mirror. They didn't have mirrors back then, but you could look in the water. When the water's in trouble, you can't see yourself no more. So once it's calm, when you look at yourself, it's like looking at a reflection in the mirror. You got to, you know, check yourself before you check other people, you know, stuff like that.
Man, that was very, you hit that on the nail, brother. I mean, the way, you know, the point that I love that you said was, when you look into the water, you don't even like what you see. That's why some people won't self-check themselves.
Right.
Because they don't like what they see in the mirror. And sometimes that's why people, they want to talk bad about you. You know why? Because when both of y'all walked through the mirror, they liked what they saw on you. And when they went and when they went in the mirror, they ain't like what they see. There's things that, especially in the churches today, where some people just need to stand, or some people need to find that mirror, or some people need to find that water. Because if you see the reflection, there's some things that always need to have change. If you're not changing with Christ, you're not really walking with Him. If you always have to come for change. That's what Christ came. Christ came for change. Yeah. Christ came to save our souls from a burning hell, because the people before were just dying and going to hell. Christ came and he started change. He let us know that we could not keep the Ten Commandments. So what Christ did was came down and died on the cross for change. Uh-huh. So that today we can have life and have it abundantly. See, if you don't never have to, if you're never uncomfortable, you're not changing. Change is uncomfortable. So you have to be uncomfortable in life to keep, or you have to change your ways to walk with Christ. You have to give your ways to Him. It's a must. In order for God to do what He needs to do in your life, we must give Him all.
Yeah, I'm reminded of a verse where you, just like you were saying, you know, that he puts you in certain situations that make you uncomfortable because you need to grow. And that's if you don't go through certain situations when you're younger. When you get older, you won't know how to deal with that situation. I went to the movies, and basically the kid, he was like, you know, he's telling his parents, and he was like, you know, like that they keep on picking with me. They keep on doing this. And after there was like, when you get older, there's going to be a whole bunch of people that's picking on you. There's going to be a whole bunch of people in school that will talk about you, do bad stuff to you, like, you know, slay your name and have to, you know, do certain stuff like that. But the thing is, if you don't go through it, then when you get older, you don't know how to go through it. Because when you get that age, you have certain expectations of that person. And, you know, when you become 18, you're not supposed to act like you're 18. You know what I'm saying? So now that I'm 19, I'm not supposed to act like, you know, when I was back in 18, it's more responsibility, it's a bigger thing. So going through life, and as iron sharpens iron, like you said in the last couple of verses back, you know, certain things that we go through in life, I feel like they're put there, and God puts that in our life in order to make that change, you know, and to build us up. Iron sharpens iron. He builds us. So as you go through certain situations, as you go through the fire, and if you go to the sword with iron, when you start purging, you know, you get all the dirt and impurities out of it, you have to go through the fire, which will be somebody saying something about you, you know,
come on,
times, you know, certain stuff like that, when you have to go through it in order, you know, get that testimony in the end, you know, come out shining, or to learn, you know, like you were saying.
Amen. Oftentimes God puts us through tests so we can talk to Him.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of us. When things are going right, we ain't talking to Him. But when it's going bad, oh, that's the hotline bling. we calling Him on the late
that
night.
Can only mean one thing.
Come on, we have to get into that place where we're ready for change. When we're ready for change, we see that when when we're younger and we're putting the shoes on. They feel fine. You get a little older. You put your foot in it. It's a little snug. Okay, I can manage. But when your foot has outgrown the shoe, now it's time to buy new shoes. But you have to be in the place that say my feet hurt so much that I have to get new shoes because they're too small. Right. But if you want to continue to wear the small shoes and walk down the street bow legged, then that's what God's going to let you do. So when we get into that place where we're ready for change and we're ready to give God our will, we're going to be in a good place. Verse 22, it says, though you grind a fool in a mortar, grinding him like grain with a pestle, you will not remove his folly from him. This scripture speaks to the test of when Pastor Kason says people have graduated from I Know Everything University. You can't tell me nothing, high school. It's saying that a person of folly has already made up their mind that what I'm doing is right. They're not going to listen to nobody. So the Bible tells us that you can grind them up as fine as you want to. It's a saying that goes, you can take the man out the hood, but you can't take the hood out the man. There are certain things that we have to let go. Because if we do not let them go, these are the same things that are holding us back. These are the same scenarios and the same situations that are stopping us from progressing in the Lord. Because you know what, especially with men, black men, we have pride. Ain't no what? How old are you? You ain't telling me nothing, young punk. You ain't telling me nothing, young whippersnapper. We have to get into that place where, and God is telling us that a fool, you ain't going to be able to do nothing with it. You ain't going to be able to do nothing with him. He said you can grind him down like grain and pestle. That's very, very fine. And you still can't remove the folly from him. You still can't take the selfish ways from him. You still can't take the selfish ways of thinking from him. You can't do that no matter how hard or how much you break him down in every source. And there's just some people that love their foolishness. There are just some people who love their depression. There are just some people who love their hurting and do not want to be delivered from these things. And no matter how hard you try, how hard you try to get to the problem, how hard is you trying to get to the source, you will never remove their folly because they have already made their mind that this is what I'm going to do. And especially with men, when we make up our minds to do, that's when we're going to do. There's nobody that can tell us what to do because there's nothing that you can get a man to do that when he doesn't want to do. That's just the key. When a man makes up his mind that I'm going to take care of this child, that's what he's going to do. And also when a man makes up his mind that I'm not going to take care of this child, that's what he's not going to do. Oftentimes, I was walking to the grocery store the other day, and some guy I knew from way back in school, he said, man, what's up, man? I said, what's up, man? He says, well, man, I'm on. I said, how you been? He said, well, man, you know, I just got put on child support. Don't have sex without a rubber. Don't have sex without a rubber. And he said, I'm not even in the kid's life. And when he was saying these things to me, he said it kind of with his chest out. He kind of said it with pride and authority. And when my mom was standing right there, she said, he doesn't even want to be in that baby's life, but he got $200 shoes on his feet. Because you can just not make a man do what he don't want to do, Anthony.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, people walk around with the latest Jordans and, you know, spend $250. People buy Yeezys. It's $1,000. And the thing is, you look at where you're living at. You're walking with your Jordans on. You're getting your shoes dirty. You don't have no place to live, but you're spending this much on that. I mean, that's the same way that I have now, where you either decide to make that car payment or you get some shoes. It's a decision that a man has to make.
Come on.
And it's a thing where make that decision, that's up to you. You're a man. You know what I'm saying? And at the end of the day, there's somebody that's looking up to you. You have to be that example for them. And if you're not in that child's life, that's up to you. Like you said, that's a man. And you can't tell the man what he's going to do. He's going to do it on his own time, or do it the way that he want to do it. And until either he gets out of his foolish ways or grows older and sees what he has done wrong, you know what I'm saying, and change those decisions, like looking in the water, and you see what's wrong with yourself, and you see that I need some place to live. You still living with your mother and you have a child. That's not good. That's not the way that the order is supposed to go. And you got
Don't talk about it. You got
11, 12, 13, 14. You got the ones and the twos. But the thing is, at the end of the day, you living with your mother, you got a child on the way, and you still buying joints. You're not preparing anything. That's a foolish man to me. I feel like that's real foolish. If you think about it, you need to be saving up. You need to stop buying jewelry, sell a couple if you have to. I mean, real talk. But the thing is, at the end of the day, man's going to do what a man's going to do. If he works for that check. And, you know,
at the end of the day,
like I was talking to my barber, he was like, you know, they ain't taking this much out of my check. They taking this much out of my check. I'm like, that was your decision to have that child. And, you know,
not give
her anything. Make her go that way. That was up to you. And now they taking this much out your check. That's because at the end of the day, you wanted to be the man. You didn't want to do anything.
Amen. great convo. Great dialogue today. We have run out of time. any last words, Brother Ann?
No. I mean,
okay.
I think pretty much everything was said. We'll close out with prayer.
Yes, sir. All my hearts and minds are clear. Let's look to the Lord. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just want to say thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for all the men, Father God, on the line today. Father God, we pray for Pastor Kason, Father God. We pray, Father God, that you lift him up, Father God. We pray, Father God, that you build him up where he is weak, Lord. Father God, we pray right now in the name of Jesus, Father God, that you put your hand on him right now, Father God, and make it all right, Father God. We just want to thank you in advance, Father God. We just want to say, Father God, thank you for all the men that got on the line. Father God, thank you for all the men that didn't get on the line, that want to get on the line, Father God. And, Father God, we just want to say thank you all together, Father God, for just sending your son Christ down the cross, Father God. And now, Father God, please give us traveling mercies to where we have to go, Father God. Be in our church services, Father God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Everybody have a blessed day, and see you guys in church.
All right.
All right.